Our scripture reading this morning will be from John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. You would please read with me. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day.
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. We're gathered together today to worship our Lord and our Savior, to sing praises to His name, to observe the supper that He instituted, to hear a portion of His word, to pray together, and to be together as the family of God. Many have come together on this day throughout the religious world to celebrate a day known as Easter, a day that the world claims was the day that Christ rose from the dead. Friends, I'm telling you today, I stand before you today as we read in Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, that no day, no Sunday is better than any other Sunday. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 8, we read, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Friends, here we have the Galatians. They were going back to the old law. They were going back to observing days and months and years, when Paul says they ought not do that. There ought not be a special Sunday, a special day above another. Friends, we come together every Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead, not just one out of the year. We worship on Sunday because it was the first day of the week that Christ rose from the dead. We ought not just assemble on one particular day out of the year simply because He rose from the dead. It ought to be every week, every Sunday. And friends, as we gather together this morning in today's world of such religious confusion, it's hard to make heads or tails of what's really going on. This group over here says that, and that group over there says this. And so we simply ask the question, what's right? So many are claiming to be on the road to heaven and yet teaching different things. The Lord says in Matthew 15 and verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men." Friends, the simple truth is, not everyone can be right. Someone's got to be wrong. Jesus also said, as we just read in John 12 and verse 48, that we're going to be judged by His Word on the last day. And so, friends, with that in mind, there are many in the religious world that try to hold to tradition rather than relying simply upon the Word of God. Matthew 15 and verse 3 says, "But He answered and said unto them," to the Pharisees, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Friends, if we would be right with God, with those things in mind, we would do good to say, "Give me the Bible and nothing else." That's the title of our sermon this morning, "Give me the Bible." Can you say that with me this morning? Give me the Bible. Give me the Bible. Did you mean it? I hope that you did. I hope that you mean it, and I hope that as we study this morning and as we go about in our day-to-day lives, that when it comes to things of doctrine, when it comes to things of spiritual matters, friends, that we say, "Give me the Bible and nothing else, nothing more and nothing less." I want to share with you and study with you this morning 13 quick reasons that we should say each and every day of our lives, "Give me the Bible." Number one. Give me the Bible this morning because it is from God. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, Isaiah records, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come now, let us reason together concerning the Word of God. Let's reason together concerning those things, these things this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we read of the Bible. We read of God's Word according as His divine power, that is God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Friends, God has given us everything we need. We don't need a creed from men. We don't need the traditions of men. We need the Bible. And we need the Bible because it is from God. Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Friends, the simple truth is that God's word does not change and it will never be destroyed. God's word is the same as it's always been. It will not be destroyed. It still stands through the test of time. How many times, as you go through history, have people tried in vain to destroy the word of God? In Psalm 119 and verse 89, the psalmist writes, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Friends, the simple truth is that God is going to preserve His word. He's going to preserve the Bible. In Exodus 20 and verse 1, we read, and God spake all these words, saying, and then you get in there to the Ten Commandments. God spake all these words. In Genesis chapter 1, we read time and time again, and God said 10 times in Genesis 1. It's His word. It belongs to Him. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 tells us concerning the Scripture, concerning God's word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, it's literally God breathed. It was given by Him and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Friends, give me the Bible this morning because it is from God. Number two, give me the Bible because faith comes only by hearing it. Friends, what is faith? What is faith? Friends, faith is biblical evidence and action in the right direction. Without those two things, we cannot have biblical faith. We need biblical evidence and action in the right direction. Consider Hebrews chapter 11 and all those that are mentioned there, namely Noah. We talked about Noah in our Bible class this morning. What faith did Noah have to build an ark as he did, not even knowing what rain was? Simply that God said, Noah, it's going to rain. I'm going to destroy the earth. All you got to do, you need to build this boat. Because it's going to rain. Can you imagine what was going through Noah's mind? What must have been going through the mind of the people as Noah is standing there preaching to them, telling them that it's going to rain? The water is going to fall from the sky. Them having never seen or heard of rain. What faith? What about Abraham? Genesis chapter 12. 1 through 3. Get up out of your land, Abraham. Leave Ur of the Chaldees. Leave the most advanced civilization upon earth at this time. And you go to a land that I will show you. I'm not telling you right off the bat what your destination is. You just go. What about Sarah? Being as old as she was, being told that she was going to bear a son, and yet she counted it to God for righteousness. What about the people at Jericho? Moses, or rather Joshua and the people. As they were there at Jericho. We've talked about Jericho from the pulpit in the past. What sense did it make for them to march around the city? Seven times on the seventh day. Or one time for 7 days. Seven times on the seventh day. And then blow the trumpet at the end and expect the walls to fall down. That made no military sense. But we see faith. Friends, what it is, it's biblical evidence, action in the right direction, and then God will deliver His promise. Faith is not stepping out into the abyss, as so many claim that it is. Friends, simple truth is we cannot step out on feelings. We cannot step out on opinions. We cannot step out on personal belief. It takes faith in God and His Word. Period. Give me the Bible, friends, because it produces faith. It produces faith. Number three, give me the Bible because it's powerful. Give me the Bible because it is powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read these words, "For the word of God is quick." It's alive, in other words, "and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Friends, many would have us in this world today to believe that this is a dead book. That because this book was written some 2,000 plus years ago, much of it written long before then, that there's nothing that this book has to say that applies to me today. That's not what we read. And that's not what I know concerning the Bible. This book is alive. It is as pertinent to me today as it was to Paul in the first century. It is as pertinent to me today as it was to Peter as he preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. And it's powerful. It has the power, friends, to change lives, as we're going to notice here in just a few moments. Give me the Bible because it's powerful. Give me the Bible, number four, because the worlds were framed by God's words. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Again, we read in Genesis chapter 1, 10 times, "And God said." There, the first time in Genesis chapter 3. "And God said, let there be light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be a firmament." Verse 9, "Let the waters," "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place." Notice the end of verse 9. Time and again, we see in this chapter, And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. Friends, give me the Bible because God, the worlds were framed by God's words. You know, we look out in the world today and we see many, many wonderful buildings, many wonderful things created by the hand of man. You know, the great difference between God and man is that God could speak those things into existence. It took workers and man hours and hands to build those buildings. God created the earth with His words. And God said, and it was so. Give me the Bible because the worlds were framed by God's words. Give me the Bible, number five, because it frees us. Give me the Bible because it frees us. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, James refers to the Bible, refers to God's Word as the perfect, complete law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. In Romans 6 and verse 23, we read, "And the wages of sin is death, before the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Friends, we have an opportunity to be free from sin if we obey the Word of God. Give me the Bible because it frees us. God's Word frees us from the shackles of denominationalism. In Matthew 23 and verse 4, Christ says, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." I find it interesting that when talking to His disciples, Jesus told them, when it comes to matters of the law, you listen to the Pharisees. You just don't follow their actions. They lay grievous burdens, heavy burdens, grievous to be borne, lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. I want you to notice the contrast between Matthew 23 and verse 4 and what Jesus calls upon His disciples to do in Matthew 11 and verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, when we look at the denominational world today, the religious world round about us, many times to become a member of a denomination, you've got to go through hoops and jump over hurdles. God's Word isn't like that. God's Word makes things simple. Give me the Bible, friends, because it frees us. It frees us from sin. It frees us from the shackles of denominationalism. We can come to God, and He will give us rest. Number six, give me the Bible because it saves us. Give me the Bible because it saves us. John 14 and verse 15, Jesus talking to His disciples says there, if ye love me, keep my commandments. I want you to notice with me James 1 and verse 21. We will be saved. We must indeed keep the commandments of Christ. We know that those commandments are found within the Bible. I want you to notice James 1 and verse 21 real quick with me. James writing there says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, this is King James Version, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, what do you suppose that is? That's the Bible. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. Friends, if I don't need the Bible for any other reason, I need it for this, that I might be saved. Because therein is found the conditions which I must meet in order to be saved. Therein is found the way that I must live. Revealed therein is the path to life. Give me the Bible because it saves us. Give me the Bible, number seven, because it sanctifies us. Friends, the Bible is a set-apart book to make us set-apart people. It is a set-apart book to make us set-apart people. Now think about that for just a moment, friends, before we notice our next scripture. A set-apart book to make us set-apart people. Do you know of any other book that is like this book? That is quick and powerful, that is alive as this one is? Do you know of any other book that has lasted against such diversity as long as this one has? Against such adversity, not diversity. I don't. Give me the Bible, friends, because it sanctifies us. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Peter refers to those that would be Christians as peculiar people. He says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, a special people, literally, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Friends, if we live according to the Word of God, people ought to be able to see God in us. It is a sanctified book to make a sanctified people, a set-apart book to make a set-apart people. Give me the Bible, number eight, because it purifies us. Friends, purity matters. Purity matters. Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are we to be cleansed, friends? The Bible. Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Friends, if the Word is in our heart, it's going to be harder for us to sin against God. Give me the Bible because it purifies us. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Friends, purity matters. Purity matters in my mind. Purity matters when it comes to my body. Purity matters when it comes to my spirit. Purity matters, and we're purified by the Word of God. Give me the Bible because it purifies us. Number nine, give me the Bible because it enlightens my steps. Give me the Bible because it enlightens my steps. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119 and verse 105 simply says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Jeremiah 10 and verse 30 says that, Jeremiah says there, that I know it is not a man that walketh to erect his own steps. Friends, we know not where we go if we do not have the Bible. We are not able to know God if we do not have the Bible. Friends, quite simply, if God had created us and then left us here on this earth without giving us His Word, without giving us the Bible, we would be eternally lost, having no guidance, having no light to shed upon our way. Give me the Bible because it enlightens my steps. Give me the Bible, number 10, because it is faithful. Friends, the Bible tells me, and I know, through His Word and through what I've read concerning outside of the Word and those that were Christians, that God cannot lie. Concerning the life of Jesus alone, over 330 prophecies were fulfilled. That's not counting all the other ones that were fulfilled. Israel receiving the land of promise. Water coming out of the rock. All those promises, all those prophecies that God gave, God cannot lie. Titus 1 and verse 2, we read those very words. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Psalm 119 and verse 160 says, Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Friends, give me the Bible because it's faithful. I know that God is going to keep His promises. And what that means for me, friends, is just as Christ rose from the dead, I too will be resurrected from the dead. I too have a hope, that hope of eternal life that He shed His blood upon the cross to grant. Give me the Bible because it's faithful. Give me the Bible, number 11, because it builds up. Give me the Bible because it builds up. In Acts 20 and verse 32, we read, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Again, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, which says that the man of God may be perfect, that he may be complete, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It builds us up. Philippians 3 and verse 13 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, friends, you think about the man there that's writing that. All the things that he had to leave behind in order to become a Christian, in order to preach the Word of God. All the things that he had done in his former life to Christians. And now he's preaching the Word of God. He says, I've left those behind and I reach forth. Give me the Bible, friends, because it builds up. Give me the Bible, number 12. Give me the Bible because it stands forever. Friends, you read through the book of Ecclesiastes. And you wonder, and you ask, and maybe even you go through and count, how many times does Solomon use the word vanity there? Or vain? Well, Solomon realized as he went through his life, and the reason that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes was that he could work all his life, and all that is vain because one day he's going the way of all the earth. He's going to die. All those things are temporary. You think of the grand house that Solomon built. Think of the wonderful temple that Solomon built. Where are they today? They're gone. They no longer stand. Solomon realized that those things were temporary. And so in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he reached a conclusion. He said there, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Leaving nothing out, in other words, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. The whole duty of man. This is what we are here for, to fear God and keep His commandments. Give me the Bible because it stands forever, friends. We read in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 10, But the rich, and that he is made low, because of the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Friends, this life is temporary. We come and go. But the Word of God stands forever. Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus Himself said as much. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Give me the Bible, friends, because it stands forever. Number 13. Give me the Bible, because it will judge us on that last day. We read John 12 and verse 48 at the beginning of our study, where Jesus says, He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Friends, as we stand before the judgment seat of God, we can rest assured that we will be judged by the Bible. Give me the Bible because it will judge us. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 12, we read these words concerning that day. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell shall be delivered, and death and hell delivered up the dead, rather, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Friends, there are going to be three books open upon the day of judgment. One will be the book of deeds. One will be the book of life. And friends, the third book you hold in your hands this morning, it's going to be the Bible. Give me the Bible, because it will judge us. In this world of religious confusion today, friends, the cry needs to be heard louder than ever. Give me the Bible. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books, ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, I want you to consider these things this morning, these things that we've discussed concerning the Bible, concerning God's Word. As we go through our day-to-day lives, as we face the spiritual confusion that we see in this world, let us determine to say within ourselves, give me the Bible. Let's take what man has to say. Let's take what Josh Romo has to say, what Rick Popejoy has to say, what any person in this assembly has to say or out in the world has to say, and let's compare it with this book. And if it does not add up, friends, we know that it's not true. Give me the Bible. For it's the Bible that saves us. It's the Bible that will judge us. Friends, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Having never obeyed the commands found written therein? Would you say this morning, give me the Bible, so that I may know what to do to be saved? You see, friends, the Bible tells us that I must hear the Word, Romans 10 and verse 17. I must believe it, as we read in John 3 and verse 16. I must repent of my sin, Luke 13 and verse 3. Confess His name before men, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Friends, would you do those things this morning? You can read them there in the Bible. Man may tell you that all you have to do is raise your hand, say the sinner's prayer, and you'll be forgiven of your sins. Friends, the Bible tells us it's not how it works. The world may say all you've got to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior and welcome Him into your heart. Friends, that's not what the Bible says concerning salvation. The Bible says I must hear His Word, believe it, repent of my sins, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water. And then will my sins be forgiven me. And upon that, upon my baptism, Christ adds me to His church. Acts 2 and verse 47. Friend, are you here this morning needing to be forgiven of sin, needing to be baptized for the remission of sin? Will you do that? Would you put Christ on in baptism? for the forgiveness of your sins. Friend, are you here this morning having done that? Where do you stand today? Have you followed after the words of men? Have you followed after the traditions of men? Or have you just forsaken God altogether? Friends, would you come home? Would you be His again? Would you say, give me the Bible and come back to God? Friend, if you have a need, we ask that you come right now while we stand and while we sing.